Hi there, we are James and Dan, two fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I got one here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. This is a preview of today's members episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.
Merkel Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. But the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow this head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg, and I look over, and there are two small gray entities pulling at me, and they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reached my hand into this bush, and I touch air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
All right, today we have Richie on the show. Richie, how you doing, man?
How's it going? Appreciate you.
Dude, I'm glad you're here, and I met you at BlurryCon, and I met a lot of people over there, but you approached me in a line and you told me that you're a retired police officer and you had some pretty wild things, wild experiences while you were in Alaska and even in Kentucky. And I remember now that we're talking, I want to start off with the possible portal situation because it's like, you were, I would say, at least teleported, right? So
I think I was near a portal of some kind. I don't think I went anywhere, but I don't know.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah. So I'm, like you said, a retired police officer out of Alaska, a cop for 28 years, 25 in Alaska. And most of my career was in the North Slope borough. So that's basically the size of Oregon, the entire Arctic coast. So, you know, about 600 miles across. Multiple posts. And the only post you can actually drive to from here is Prudhoe Bay. That's where all the oil comes from. Everything else is off the road system. So when I was posted there, I went down at the Dalton Highway to Adigan Pass, which is about 180 miles from my office. And I'm going in. So you've got tundra on the north side of the mountains, the Brooks Range, and then the real, you know, trees and stuff on the south side. And so this Adigan Valley going in there, just tundra, flat, beautiful. Bright sunny day. It's like 12 degrees outside. And I look up ahead and we've all seen the shimmering of like heat on the highway. And I saw that, only it was the most distinct I've ever seen. And it was in the shape of a giant dome, miles across, like top, bottom, everything really distinct. And I'm getting closer and closer. And I'm kind of thinking it was some trepidation. It's like, oh, geez, what am I seeing here? And I even slow down a little bit, but then I go through it. And nothing happened when I punched through, but suddenly it went from 12 degrees to 50 below instantly. The entire place starts icing up. I am having to like crank up the heat because the entire truck, I can't even see out the windows, just instantly dropped 60 degrees. Had a very accurate thermometer on the truck. And it just felt like we've all walked into the conference room when people are gossiping and something bad's happening. And they kind of all stop and just stare at you and wait for you to leave. Just felt like something huge and evil there. Was like I was interrupting something. And I drove through this thing and I finally get to where I can see out the windows to the ice about 2 or 3 miles across. And there's that shimmering coming up again. And I go through it and then the evil sense of evil went away. But then the temperature jumped back up 60 degrees. So all the ice is falling off the truck. I go up Adigan Pass, do whatever I was doing that day. And maybe an hour later, I come back and there it is again. And now it's moved slightly to the west. It's like still sitting over the highway like a giant soap bubble. So I go into it again, this sense of evil, this completely just sense of evil. And temperature drops 60 degrees, just everything's icing up, cranking the heat up, punch through the other side, it jumps back up and everything's normal. The first time I went through, I lost track of time. And I don't know if that was just my ADHD or I don't know. I just, oh, wait, there's the other side. I forgot I was in the middle of this thing. And the second time I was focused, paid attention, it took, you know, 2 or 3 miles across. But that part there is Adigan Pass is about 60 miles from a place called Anaktubik Pass, which is one of our other posts. And that's off the road system. Beautiful place. Incredible. And Anaktubik Pass, this is all in the Alaska Triangle, by the way. It's like the northern tip of that. You've probably heard of that. Lots of weird stuff happened there.
Yeah.
Many UFO sightings. I saw them all the time up there. And but in Anaktubik Pass, when I was posted there, we would always come in on Giant Creek. That's what I was usually sitting next to the pilot, tiny little plane. They'd always call it to the tower, you want to approach Giant Creek. And I didn't think much of it. Well, on the map, it's called Inuksugruk Creek. And in Inukiak, Inuksugruk means giant person. When I was talking to the people there, they're like, yeah, you never go camping up there. Because when you go up in Inuksugruk, Giant Person Creek, because they go hunting all around there. They said somebody will foolishly go up there every couple of years, you know, did not listen to the elders' advice. In the middle of the night, they'll hear like grunting and things will throw boulders at them. Not rocks, boulders. The only other, I mean, bears can't throw boulders. We have grizzly bears and even polar bears not far from there. But something grows, throws boulders at them. And so they have to run out of the village and back to the village in the middle of the night. Come back the next day and the place is destroyed. So they just accept that that's where Giant Person lived. Mm. So that's in Inuksugruk. Now, also up there, when my wife and I first moved up there, we kind of heard the legend of whether they're not called the Imanarik. And the Imanarik are the little people that live under the tundra. And, you know, kind of to my embarrassment, when I first heard this, I kind of, oh, cute little native legend, dismissive. By the time we'd been up there 3 or 4 years, we believed in them. And I'd never seen one up there, but we knew so many people who have seen them. It's like seeing a, you know, a bear down here. You know, you may not have seen one, but your neighbor has.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's just a fact of life. And the Imanarik live underground. They're little people, knee high, can run super fast. They're dressed like traditional Eskimos. And yes, Eskimo is the right word. Blue-haired college freshmen don't like it, but that's what they call themselves. The Inuit actually live in Eastern Canada. It's like calling all Native Americans Cherokee because that's the only one you know. So yeah, Eskimo is a perfectly acceptable word. But the story was that they used to live among humans, the Imanarik, and then in Point Hope, Tigigak is the Eskimo name for it, a human's dog killed an Imanarik baby, and that caused a rift, and so they went to live underground. And so they just took off, and now they kind of come into village and steal things. Like when we were living in Hoktovik, some kids I know, honest kids, they played at our house. There's kind of a wrecked boat on this beach there on the edge of town. And they're walking along and they see this little man sitting on the side, dangling his feet over in traditional caribou steel skins. And they got scared and ran to the nearest house, which is only 50-100 feet away. Told the adults, and when they went out there, it was gone. But they saw little bitty footprints going out in the snow and the mud. So they tracked it down the tundra until it got to a big patch of mud and then it disappeared. But the elders told them, you know, next time talk to it. Say hi. Don't be scared. But that brings me, though, to I spent my entire life, 50 years in the Pacific Northwest. So 25 years in Washington State, 25 years in Alaska. Up there, Bigfoot's just a thing. I mean, it's like people just know it's a thing. But we moved to Kentucky less than 2 years ago.
Hold on.
Okay.
We can't leave Alaska yet.
Okay.
So with the bubble portal thing, how long were you in there again?
It may be 2 or 3 minutes. I was going about 50 miles an hour.
Okay.
It's about two or three miles across.
That's right. So it's 2-3 miles across. Temperature drops.
Yeah.
Did visually the environment change around you, like outside or anything?
It looked about the same, except everything, the truck completely iced up, which is also kind of weird because up there it's incredibly dry in the winter. There's no humidity. So I don't know where the humidity came from for that because it's a desert. Technically, it's too cold for there to be any humidity in the air, but it drops 60 degrees instantly.
That's interesting. Okay. So And you went through this how many times? Two or three times?
Twice.
Twice.
Because I went, so you went up Attigan Pass and then came back.
Gotcha. And you were in the cop car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you happen to have this on video, or do they not roll continuously?
We didn't have body cam. We had body cams. We didn't have the car cams.
Okay. And are there other locations? I mean, you said this was the top or bottom of the Alaska Triangle.
This is way up towards the top. The very top of it is Barrow.
Okay.
Which is also part of our jurisdiction.
And when it comes to the Alaskan Triangle and this area, have there been claims of this kind of phenomenon outside of what you've experienced?
That's the first I've heard of it. Lots and lots of UFOs, lots of, you know, the hairy man, which is the Alaska for Bigfoot, lots of Imanarik, but I have no idea what I saw.
Okay.
Just, yeah.
I think it's interesting because when we were in the meadow for the meadow project, I'm pretty sure they said that the guys who went into the port. So there's this. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. So the guys who went into the cube portal, I believe they said, because they said that the environment around them changed. They visually couldn't see the portal. But they knew they were entering it because of the guidance of the camera operator who was able to see it on camera. I believe they said the temperature dropped. And I'm assuming you've driven this road before, and this was a very new thing.
Yeah.
So my thought is that if it happened, if you've been on that road hundreds of times, you haven't had this experience. These guys have been in the meadow hundreds of times, and they hadn't seen that. Now they've seen this Q portal popping up in other locations, but that location I believe was the first time. And so I have a very loose theory that these things, I hate to even call them portals because I don't know what they are. And also, honestly, I the portal thing I feel like is, I don't know, it's like a word that it's used a lot now.
Yeah.
But like a
gateway. Exactly. Jacob's ladder. Yeah.
Yes. And so I wonder if they're not anchored to specific locations and they actually move.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if what you experienced isn't something that was a one-off, but just a one-off in that area. You know,
maybe it is static and it just opens and closes. Like every other time I've been there, nothing was coming through. I don't know. I don't even know if it was a portal. I just, you know, it was bizarre. And we hadn't been that cold for months. Like, that's not an uncommon temperature up there, 50 below. That's pretty common. But it hadn't been months since we'd been that cold. Jeez. It was the spring.
I'll tell you what. It's paranormal for 50 below to me, man. That ain't normal.
I love that temperature.
You
I'll
do?
Take 50 below over 90 degrees and high humidity in Kentucky any day. I love Kentucky, but man, that humidity down here. Oh, geez, Louise.
Yeah. You're not lying. You're not lying. I was used to doing the Philadelphia, like when I was driving truck, it got really humid in the city during the summertime. And I was in a truck that a lot of times didn't have AC. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, moving to Tennessee, I was kind of used to that humidity just from what my old job was, but it does hit different here.
Oh, yeah.
It does different here. So I totally get that. So that's interesting though. So the your experience with whatever that was, it was a one-off. I'm assuming you didn't feel any different. Nothing changed about you.
No, it just felt evil. I was in the presence of evil. And I mean, my spiritual gift is discernment. And it was just a couple of years ago, I realized that was even a thing. Cause like when there's a demon or an angel nearby, I know exactly what they are. It's like giving off evil, like a stove gives off heat. I thought everyone could. I never even mentioned it until my wife's like, no, other people don't know that. So when somebody comes by, like, especially like a witch, they have a cloud of demons with them. And it just like, they give off evil, like a hot stove gives off heat. And it never occurred to me to, do you feel that too? It's like, just like a hot stove. I assume you feel what I feel. But this felt evil and big, whatever it was.
This was a preview of today's member episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I got here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts. Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I got here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.